what's going on? Are we about to say bye-bye to Debo? Did the Niners pick stink yesterday? LeBron's on the brink. We'll get to all that. First things first. Stripes, how'd you do last night?
Oh, is this how we're starting the show?
You got to start with the big story.
Must have been bad.
I was hoping you guys would forget.
I didn't know.
He would have cut you off if he threw up a triple double.
One thing I always do on this show, Whitey and Jay, is I tell it like it is. I keep it real. I don't sugarcoat. My team lost 59-49 last night. We were overmatched. We did not play together as a team. I was terrible. I was awful. I was embarrassed. You know how usually I'm calm, cool, collected. Like, I was like a kid, a rookie, where everything's moving too fast. That's how I was yesterday. I probably was, no lie, and I told you, I'm going to keep it real. Probably 2 of like 12 yesterday. Like, I was awful yesterday. I was moving way too fast. All my passes, like, I drive and kick. And partially it's because the guy I was kicking it to is like 5'4". But I was throwing it if he was a 6-footer. So it goes sailing. Yeah. I was awful yesterday, man. I honestly was embarrassed.
49's not many for you guys, is it?
Nah, we scored 73.
That's what I thought.
We were missing a couple of guys, too. We were missing, you know, 2 of our better players. And I will say this. I got a couple of things I want to get off my chest about this league at Lifetime. I know these guys, good guys. But one, ultimately it comes down to, thank you, Jay. That was my cue. That was my cue, baby. A Drapes takes about the Lifetime Folsom Basketball League. One, it's not about skill. It's not about whether you can shoot or not. The team that usually wins is the team that's in better shape. You know what I mean? When you get to a 35 and over league, if you're not in shape, you turn it over, they're running down the court getting layups. And that's what happened yesterday. Our team was not, as a collective, in great shape, and so they took advantage of us. Also, and I found this out yesterday, and I don't know who runs the league in Folsom, but something needs to be done. There needs to be an investigation. It's a 35 and over league. I found out there are players under 35 actually playing.
Probably not on your team.
Not yet. Exactly. Oh. I didn't see any of them on my team, that's for sure.
Wow.
And so I think I'm going up against 28, 29, 30-year-olds. That's no match. I'm 20 years older than these guys. I could be their dad. I'm not running up and down full court trying to check a guy. And so I was frustrated once I found that out yesterday.
All right.
There should be a no fast break rule in this league.
Well, sounds to me like maybe that team you played last night, they'll have to vacate that win. And maybe then you guys will be undefeated still.
Dude, we need Adam Silver, the 2-minute report, something.
Yeah.
You know? And I'll lastly say this. You guys, I took a charge yesterday, though.
Hey.
Exactly. A guy was trying to drive. I stepped in. This wasn't even in the paint. This was on the perimeter. He hit me square, boom. I went down, ref said charge. Then I turned to the bench, the sideline, you know, the scorer's table. I said, make sure that's on my highlight tape. So I'm going to check the highlight tape today. Hopefully they, but I was awful. From an offensive standpoint, I was awful yesterday.
It happens.
I'm not in game shape right now. And so it was very disappointing. We were down, it had to be like 36-18 at the half. And it was clear they were the younger team, the better shaped team. We only had 6 guys, and so
the team that was flouting the age rules of the league.
Right, exactly. Really, they should be banned, kicked out of the league, you know? But the fortunate thing is everybody makes the playoffs in this league.
Okay.
And so I don't have to be at my best right now. I got to be at my best in July when the playoffs are going on, June and July, you know, when the championship is on the line.
So you'll see this team again.
Yeah.
And you guys will be at full strength.
Exactly. We'll be at full strength. My conditioning will be better. I'm like the old LeBron James. Coast through the regular season.
Yeah, sure.
Work your way into shape. Then come playoffs, zero dark 30. Get off social media.
Uh-huh.
Not on internet or anything. Just lock in. And so that's where I'm at.
All right. Well, I had no idea.
But I'm being honest, though.
Yeah,
can I get some love for that?
Yeah, of course.
I was terrible yesterday.
Oh, speaking of LeBron, I noticed this morning, checking Twitter, LaFraud was trending this morning.
Ah, here we go again.
That's what was trending. And I know that you're not a big Jokic fan.
this guy. Right?
Are you a Bill Simmons fan?
Definitely not a Bill Simmons fan. He's a big-time troll. He's a Celtics lover. Everything with him is clouded with green-colored glasses, so I'm not a Bill Simmons fan.
All right. I'm just wondering what you think of what Bill Simmons had to say on his podcast about Jokic. Quote, "To me, he's on the Bird Magic level at this point. I don't see much difference from impact between him and those two." I didn't think you would care for that. I was just curious.
It's ridiculous, man. You know, and this is what I'm talking about with Jokic. Good player. Going to be a Hall of Famer. How many titles has he won?
He's won a title.
How many finals MVPs has he won?
He's won the one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How many has Magic Johnson won? Three, I believe. Five titles, three mm-hmm. finals MVPs. Mm-hmm. Don't be putting this. Jokic is the flavor of the month. 5 years ago, 3 years ago, we were talking about Giannis being the top 10. 10 years ago, we were talking about Kevin Durant being. I need to see a decade of dominance. Bird and Magic, especially Magic, dominated a decade. Mm-hmm. I need that. Jokic ain't even on the Kobe Shaq level yet. And you put him up there with Magic and Larry Bird?
Yeah, I'm not. Okay, I'm just sharing with you. You know, what your favorite Bill Simmons has to say. You're both Boston guys.
We're not Boston. I didn't like Bill Simmons when I was in Boston because it's, you know, and I'm going to give the listeners a little game here. I'm going to put them on to some game. When people say things, think about their allegiances, where it's coming from. And a lot of times it might be trolls.
Consider the source, in other words.
Consider the source.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody except me when we talk about 49ers and draft coming up in just a little bit, right? Yeah. But yeah, I don't listen to Bill Simmons. And anything he says, it goes in one ear and out the other.
Mm-hmm. He's done, obviously, an incredible job building up his brand and his name. I just don't know why people hold so many things that he says about basketball as gospel.
He's a glorified fan.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He made his name as a Celtics fan.
Yeah.
Started a website, started writing, obviously, and then, you know, blew up.
Good for him. I mean, in this case, he's probably right, but, you know, about the Jokic thing, which is interesting. But
the other interesting thing about that, and I think I've said this to you guys, Chris Haynes had 2, 3, 4 years ago, he had an all-media during the All-Star game. Weekend. He had mm-hmm. like an all-media tournament, right?
Yeah.
And just some of the guys couldn't even hold the ball properly. Like, you could tell they've never right. even dribbled. They've right. never even picked up a basketball. And Bill Simmons, to me, is that person. Now, really? I don't know. He might have some game.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
no idea.
But to me, I'm with you, Drapes. Like, there is a level of, okay, I respect what you say because
right.
you can be a coach and watch so much tape and don't have to play, you know. But dude, like, you don't even look like you could make a layup.
Yeah, and he's criticizing and throwing. Who cares about his opinion? Like, why is he the arbiter of, you know, if Jokic is uh-huh. a top five player or not? Now, if somebody like, what if Magic said that? Man, Jokic. Or somebody with some credentials, right. actual NBA credentials said
you're
that.
Right.
And you know, we talk about the voting for league awards and everything like that. And to Jay's point, a lot of these dudes couldn't make a layup if you asked them to. Mm-hmm. But yet they get the vote on who's the MVP and who's everything. Come on, man.
The thing about Simmons is he built his own platform. He got up on it. He started talking. And a lot of people pay attention to him. So, you know, he deserves a ton of credit for that. But, you know, I'm not necessarily going to assume that everything he says is something that I should take that seriously.
And rightfully so, yeah. right? Yeah.
Good for him.
All right, that's his opinion,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't hold much weight, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you think the Lakers are, at this point, I mean, is this bunch done? Last night you had D'Angelo Russell. He's on his phone during a timeout.
Did he? I didn't see
that.
Yeah,
I'll show you the video.
I got to see that
video. He did not want to participate in the timeout, and he was just looking at his phone.
Yeah, he has to be gone, right? He'll be a free agent. He has to be out of there. You know, Kevin O'Connor tweeted out, another guy that, you know, why are we giving him some credence? But I'll just tell you what he said. You know, there's no way the Lakers can bring back Darvin Ham next season. And so it looks like there's going to be some massive changes for this Lakers team. I will say this, as I watch the Lakers, and I'm definitely not going to give LeBron James a pass. He's not good on defense right now. Like, his effort defensively just isn't there. I'm giving him a little grace because he's 39 years old, 21 years in the league. he can't be a defensive stopper. I think when you look at the Lakers, their perimeter defense is so bad. That's what they need. Shooting and perimeter defense. I look for them to retool this offseason.
Mm-hmm. You think they have a chance to do that successfully?
They always find a way, don't they?
You like, want to hear Carmichael Dave's idea?
Speaking of guys that we don't need to give credence to, but go ahead. Let me
kind of piecing things together from what I saw on Twitter. So, but I think he was just suggesting and asking people, what do you think of using the 13th pick or whatever the Kings pick ends up being on Bronny?
And then, yeah.
And then bringing in his daddy.
Didn't he put out one of those polls or something like that?
He did.
I did not
participate, but he did.
Yeah, I didn't participate. I didn't want to skew the numbers or anything like that. You know, I didn't want to, you know, we work for the company, so I didn't. It makes no sense. What is he talking about here? First of all, we only have money to get LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron's it's not like Bronny. If someone drafts him, Dad, what I do is like, you're making a lot of money. You don't have to go to the NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't go,
yeah, right? Yeah. Yep. You know, and so, but that's, he's trying to create some content for his show. That's it. Yeah. I wouldn't want LeBron James on this team just because timeline and everything like that. And even with LeBron, can we get past Denver? That seems to be his kryptonite right now, the one team he can't beat right now.
Absolutely. We'll turn our attention to the NFL draft. Even Brandon Ayuk liked the 49ers' first-round pick, although a lot of other people aren't so sure. Next with the Drive, guys, it's Friday. Thanks already for the participation here. Drapes, how about this on the chat from Beeman? Talking about D'Angelo Russell, just kind of disengaged during a timeout on his own, looking at his phone. Beeman says, that's like something a middle school basketball player will do. Next game, he's going to DoorDash a Nacho Bel Grande to the
right to the bench. Right? That's hilarious. I didn't see that video, man. I'm going to look it up also right now. That's unbelievable.
He's definitely making a point, which is about the only point he made all night, because I think he got shut out last night.
Yeah, he didn't score at all. Mm-hmm. And think about this. The game before, Anthony Davis said, you know, sometimes we don't know what we're doing on either end. Now you got D'Angelo Russell. To me, this is all about Darvin Ham. And you know, just he has no control over this team right now. I mean, they're not listening to him. They're not paying attention. I don't think I've ever seen a player on the bench using his phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Wasn't J.R. Smith one time checking out Instagram models on his phone during a game?
During a game, he did that?
I think he did.
Like, what?
I think someone... He liked something, and someone figured out, hey, that he liked that
while we were on, right? Yeah, he's playing. Yeah, that's interesting. What D'Lo did, D'Angelo Russell, to me is a suspendable offense by the team. Like, if I'm the Lakers, you gotta do something, reprimand him some way. That is unbelievable. And he got booed by Laker fans too. Yesterday, I see. So his time is up in LA.
Yeah, I may have told this story before, but I know a guy who used to work here as an AE long time ago, and he collects a lot of stuff. And he was telling me he was at a Kings game at Arco, and Vernon Maxwell was playing. Was Vernon Maxwell ever on Seattle? I want to say it was when he was at Seattle, but I'm not sure. Anyway, he's sitting near the end next to Vernon Maxwell. Yeah. You know how the benches now are so close. And he's like, hey, it's towards the end of the game. And he's like, hey, you know, could I have your shoe? And Vernon Maxwell autographs one of his shoes and gives it to him. And then the guy says the game went into overtime.
And he didn't
Vernon
have
Maxwell
shoe?
Would have had, they didn't.
Oh, he wasn't. Yeah,
they didn't put him in, but if they had, he said he would not have had a shoe.
Yeah, he did play 47 games with Seattle, one season with Seattle towards the tail end. So, yeah, wow. Man, he played Sac, Philly, Dallas. He bounced around.
So maybe it was the game almost went to overtime. But the point is, there are some guys who, you know, their bench etiquette is a little different. That's all.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a circus in L.A. right now.
Man. Yeah.
And it's, you know, what's crazy about it, the one guy who's been pretty quiet through all this is LeBron James. Like, we don't know where LeBron stands with Darvin Ham. We don't know where LeBron stands with the roster or anything like that. We sure know where Anthony Davis stands. Now we know where D'Angelo Russell stands. And Darvin Ham, we know his thoughts on the situation. They're a mess right now, man. And, you know, they wanted Denver. They're like, you know, bring on Denver, you know. And they are getting mopped. Mm-hmm. Like, three straight games where you led at halftime and you lose all three. I mean, Denver's just been toying with them.
LeBron is incredible, arguably the greatest player ever. I recognize all that. Last night he did something that he does sometimes that I don't think is admirable. He doesn't need to do it. After the game, he was asked some questions. For example, is this team, this Denver team, are they just too much for you guys? Ooh. And LeBron was like, I don't know. I can't speak for the other guys on the team.
Ooh,
but again, you know how LeBron
has
that way of, yeah, it's not me. I'm not saying anything, but it ain't me.
Yeah.
He said somebody like, me and Anthony Davis, well, you know, we've been playing together 6 years. We've won a championship. So it's like, it's not our fault.
It's not us.
He didn't need to do that.
He doesn't. He doesn't. And, you know, what's interesting about LeBron is that all the things he does, stuff like you're mentioning, from the outside, we're like, man, this guy. But then you talk to the people that play with him. Like Shaq had a comment, you know, when they played together in Cleveland about how great of a leader LeBron was, did everything right.
Yep.
And it's sort of opposite of what we see sometimes and hear from him.
Yep.
And so I don't think you hear people who played with him. And I need to hit up Mike Bibby. We need to get Mike Bibby on the show here soon, because Mike played with him in Miami. And I wonder, you know, what the real deal is on the inside with LeBron. You never hear anybody, former teammates, speaking bad about him.
That's true. And I think I've mentioned, I know somebody was an intern on our show and she went to work for him. She said, he's a great boss. He's much nicer as a boss than a guy.
Really?
See? But here's what he said. He was asked if the Lakers were overwhelmed by the Nuggets' level of execution. He said, you'd have to ask the individuals that question and see how they feel. It's hard for me to just be like, this is what I think that guy feels. I can't do that. I'm not a mind reader.
He's a little salty, though.
Yeah.
He's a little salty.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's salty about the loss. And, you know, what Anthony Davis said the other day, now what LeBron is saying, I think they realize that they may not say it. Yes, this team, they're overmatched against this Denver team.
Mm-hmm. What did you give the 49ers letter grade-wise for that pick yesterday, huh? Yeah. I know you were playing basketball. You might not. Well, no.
No, this was after.
Picked,
yeah,
this
was after.
Much later. What do you think?
I'm trying to be unbiased with my take here. You know what? Solid player. I like the player. I don't like the pick.
Really?
First round? On a wide receiver that won't put you over the hump, in my opinion, this year. This pick does not move you closer to the Super Bowl in 2024, 2025. This pick you could have had, and we talked about it yesterday. You didn't have to use a first-round pick on a wide receiver. Now, if you would have traded up, Jay, and Whitey, and got Marvin Harrison or Rome Odunze, okay. But you're getting a late first-round wide receiver that probably is, what, a slot guy? You know, not an outside guy, not a—
He's a little bit of everything.
But you used a first-round pick on a guy who, in my opinion, will never be a top-five receiver in this league. Like, you could have got value in the second, third round for wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some other holes— We talked about offensive line, beefing that up. Secondary, beefing that up. I just don't like this move for the Niners. Like, and it's nothing against the player. It just, like, it wasn't at the top unless you thought you were moving on from somebody. A Deebo Samuel or a Brandon Ayuk. But even if you did move on, I don't think Pearsall is ready to be a big play receiver right now when you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
If you just look at the mocks, it wouldn't look that way. So I understand what you're saying. I always appreciate it when a team in any sport, when they go against the grain in terms of saying whatever the player is, we love this guy. No one else thinks he's that good. We don't care. Now, obviously, if everyone else is right, then you don't deserve any credit for that. But I like that the 49ers love this guy. And I also like what C.J. Stroud's reaction was. Did you see C.J. Stroud's reaction?
I did see that.
Because Houston's pick was coming up, four picks later, and he was devastated that Ricky Pearsall wasn't there for the Texans to take.
Yeah, and he's a solid player, but A first-round pick?
A late first.
31. It's still a first-round pick. And I've spent all day today and last night listening to Niners fans, seeing Niners fans try to twist them away into believing that, oh, John Lynch and them did it again. Yeah. What a pick. Oh, Woo-hoo. Kyle Shanahan, he's so smart. This guy is going to be great. And now I'm hearing, because we hear all the smoke about Debo, I'm hearing Niners fans twist their way into saying, well, they're going to lose him next year anyway. He's getting up there in age. His body is taking a lot. Debo Samuel is the heart and soul of this Niners offense, and they have not traded him yet. I get that. But I'm talking about the reaction from Niners fans. All of a sudden, Debo was the poster boy for Bang Bang Niner Gang, and now us, just business, we're going to have to let. Like, it's ridiculous, man. Let's call it what it is. This pick is okay. I give it a C, Whitey. You asked me at the beginning what kind of grade. I'd give it a C. It's okay, but it doesn't move the needle to winning the Super Bowl. And once I started at this station, some people said it's all about winning a championship. That move does not do it.
First of all, and I asked you a question and you answered it, so I appreciate it. But let's face it, any of us that sit here, and everyone does it, anybody who tries to grade the draft today, it's like, come on, it's embarrassing. Now, you answered my question.
Yeah, so you asked me.
I know. I'm not saying you. But, you know, the experts, oh, they get an A for this. They get a C. Nobody has any idea. So we'll see about all of that. It is fascinating that yesterday we were talking about, wow, all week long, are they going to trade Ayuk? Could they trade Ayuk? And then today, looks like, oh, they're not trading Ayuk. What about Debo? We didn't think they're going to trade Debo. Michael Silver said the 49ers told Debo we're not going to trade. I wonder if they actually ever did that, or they just told somebody, we told Debo we're not going to trade him, so no one would realize what's going on. I'm wondering if today, you know, as you mentioned, they need offensive line help. Maybe if they get towards a pick where someone's going to take one of the guys they like, one of the linemen from the Pac-12, maybe that's when they dangle Debo. Maybe Debo's on his way out if that's what it takes to bring in one of the offensive linemen that they like. It is a bit of a surprise.
It is a surprise, and my thing about that, and I don't know what's going to happen with Debo. I don't know what's going to happen with Pearsall, what he turns into.
Oh, he's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly. But he's going to be next Jerry Rice, I'm sure. But here's the thing. Are we talking about winning a Super Bowl this year or not?
Yeah.
Okay. If you trade Debo, that does not help you win a Super Bowl this year.
This guy they drafted is a better receiver than Debo.
Is he a better player?
That's overall, I don't know that he'd have the impact, but he's definitely a better receiver.
You're parsing words right there, Whitey.
No, that's
but
running routes, catching the football.
But is he a better playmaker? I need a playmaker if I'm the 49ers. Debo is a playmaker. And I would argue Debo's impact on this Niners team stretches far beyond some route running. He is a leader on this team.
Okay.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Niners fans are minimizing Debo Samuel and his importance to this team right now to try to boost up Pearsall. That's ridiculous.
You don't know.
But a month ago, Debo was there's a reason why.
Against Debo. Don't get me wrong.
No, because that's what it sounds like. This sounds like, you know, Patriots 101, Boston 101. A guy is great, but then soon as he's on his way out, well, he got a rag arm, or well, he's got too much miles on his tires. Well, you know, he wasn't a good route runner. He's not a great receiver. Debo Samuel is the heart and soul of that offense. And like I said, I feel like his importance is more than being measured by stats. He went into Philadelphia with some swagger.
Mm-hmm.
That's big for this Niners team.
Yeah.
Like, the swagger that they carry, Debo Samuel is the guy that embodies all of that, and they haven't moved on from him yet.
Right. That's right.
But we're talking about, well, this guy's better than Debo. And no. Debo is a legend in San Francisco, and now some fans are
so
ready
is
to
Joe Montana.
Exactly. And y'all said Brock Purdy's better than Joe Montana. And see, it's ridiculous. Niners fans, you're embarrassing yourself today by saying this pick is all Shanahan and Lynch did it again. This guy's going to be great. Debo.
How is that embarrassing?
No, because
myself.
Because last week you weren't dissing Debo or talking about Debo
I'm not
or putting
Debo now.
Yeah, you are. You just said a rookie is a better receiver than Debo Samuel.
He is.
No, that's ridiculous, Whitey.
That's a
is he a better football player? I want football players. I don't want position guys. I want guys that can play football.
Would you be trading Debo now? Would you even consider it? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. It's a feisty Friday with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. So here's the deal with the newest 49er, Ricky Pearsall. Not only could he help them win the Super Bowl next year, he could have helped them win the Super Bowl last year. All that said, we just had our 49er insider, Emil Fragoso, just popped in. He says the latest suggests, no real surprise, right, Drapes? He says the latest suggests that Debo's likely to stick around. So we've been going, you know, every which
right,
way
right.
based on some pretty spotty reporting. You know, it's kind of the nature of it during the draft. But it looks right now, even though Mike Silver said he was likely to be traded, he said Debo's likely to be moved. Right now, it looks like that's not so likely.
Right. And from a Niners perspective, if you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year, now would not be the time to move Debo Samuel. Now, after this season, after this time, I get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to trade him or Ayuk right now.
I'm with you on that because the notion that, well, now that they've got another receiver, I guess one of the other two has to go. It's like, do you know how many 49ers get injured? Why? You
right.
know, depth
yes.
is not a bad thing.
Right.
And we are
yeah.
talking Debo, and he is a
right.
very unique talent. So that didn't make sense. We'll see. Who knows? But it looks like he's staying. And I think that does speak to how this, in some ways, is like almost like a last dance for the 49ers.
You're right about that. And you're talking about, I mean, we're not sure exactly what they'll do in the future, obviously. But the writing is on the wall that, you know, at some point next season, they're probably going to have to move off on a wide receiver. And, you know, by all accounts, it seems to be Debo once you factor in age, you know, health. Miles on the tires.
Money.
Exactly. You're going to have to eventually, you know, pay him again. And so it makes sense. But this is my problem with drafting a wide receiver first round right now. You can, and I know it's back into the first round. You could have got somebody in the second round, third round, even waited till next year. And I understand that person, you know, next year would be, you know, a rookie and might take some adjustments. I just felt like the Niners had other needs that could, how should I put it, help them more this year than drafting a wide receiver. Not and a good pick, a good player, but not one of the elite guys.
Well, they apparently feel that he is. And, you know, it wasn't a matter of, well, we'll get another receiver later. They like this guy. But the key, I agree with you, is, okay, they do have other needs, specifically the offensive
yeah.
line. That's probably the biggest. So if they can address those needs, that and what? You'd like to have a little more help at the corners maybe. If they can address that, then all right. Then they've done a good job. But they must address those things.
Yeah, and I think, too, Whitey, once you saw the way the draft was shaking out, with so many quarterbacks and so many wide receivers going early, defensive backs sort of slid. Like, I felt like they could have got.
The Eagles picked a defensive.
Yeah, the Eagles, like.
They needed one.
But they got the best one at 22 instead of having to drop up. So, to me, the defensive backs, the cornerbacks, slid down a little bit. Was there a better, a more value, a higher ceiling guy at cornerback that you could have gotten at 31 instead of a wide receiver? Like, to me, it seemed like the Niners, and this is just, you know, from the outside looking in, obviously, they were hell-bent, like, this is our guy, like you were saying, and we're going to take him. Instead of seeing how the draft shaped out and, oh, man, this cornerback is still on the board, why don't we get him instead? It seemed like they had their mind set on, if this guy's available, we're going to take him.
You're saying they had Ricky Pearsall blinders?
Yes, huh. I think so because, you know, and I'll have to match it up and look at the draft versus some of the mock drafts out there and some of the rankings. But by all accounts, we thought, like, we look at Quinion Mitchell, the Eagles pick, people had him in the top 15, top 16.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was the first defensive back picked at 22. So that means to me all other defensive backs slid back a little bit. They could have got a little bit more value, I think. At 31, they could have got a cornerback who would have been 23 or 24 or something because of all the offensive players picked early in this draft.
Here's the guy they want, I believe, based on what they've said.
Roger Rosengarten.
Yeah, from Washington. He's very familiar with the zone scheme. And I think the 49ers, and this is what all the smart teams do, they look at it, it's like, we love that guy. Other teams don't love him that much.
Mm-hmm.
We can get him today. We can get him today, maybe with their first pick today.
Right.
So, you know, they love that guy probably more than some of the other higher rated linemen.
I think
some of the similar things apply.
Yeah, I think the other part too, and this is just kind of, you know, perception. And I get what you're saying, Drapes. I think everybody kind of got caught with the defense being pushed down so far.
Right.
Like with 14 offensive players being picked was the most ever on one side of the ball. I think defense, we'll see a run on defense. And I think the corner position, there's still four guys that everybody kind of put in that same pack. Like some people thought Terrion Arnold was the best corner. Mm-hmm. Some people thought Mitchell was the best corner. Some people thought Kool-Aid McKinstry was the best corner.
He's still out there,
right? Yep. And then some people love Cooper DeJean, who's still out there, right? And Wiggins got picked, Nate Wiggins, of course, from Clemson. But I think, you know, you still got Rake Straw out there. There's a bunch of corners still left. Lassiter is a lot of people have first-round grades on. I think the Niners, just what you said, and I kind of agree with both of you, I think the Niners see this guy as – the wide receiver pool is starting to get a little shaky. You know, Keon Coleman's probably the one that a lot of people out there are going to talk about. And, of course, Mitchell, who, you know, hook 'em horns. But the other part of that, too, becomes I think there's more talent offensively when it comes to the tackle position, the guard position, because the guards are still there, and corner position. And I think the Niners found the wide receiver they wanted compared to, you know, what's still on the board. But I do agree with you, Drapes, when it comes to – I think this is a bonus pick. This is something down the road. Like, look, 2-3 years, this is, you know, plethora. And hopefully he'll probably be the third or fourth, you know, wide receiver this year. I thought this was extra. I do think they need a corner. And if they don't get a corner within the next 2 days, like today for sure,
right,
then I'll say this. As Drapes always say, let it all shake out.
Right.
If they don't get a corner, you know, within the next 3 rounds, then I'm going to come back and say, Drapes, I think you're spot on.
Let me ask you this, though, Jay. Let me ask you this, because I do believe they will get in a corner. Like, it would be malpractice almost not to.
I agree.
You know?
Agree.
But what level of corner? And I hear with what you're saying, because of all the offensive players drafted, the defensive players, there's still a lot of good ones left on the board.
Yeah, there's like six corners right now. Most people still believe.
But they're drafting in the back end of the second round.
Understandable.
Do you expect them maybe to move up a little bit and go after a corner or an offensive lineman? I think their next pick is, what, 58 or something like that?
61
or something. Like, do the math. Hold on, I got it right here.
62 or 63, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, 63.
Yeah.
Like, do we really expect them to just sit back and wait?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw one mock that said Rosengarten would be there at that point.
Yeah, you know? NFL.com has Roger Rosengarten, junior out of Washington.
But if we're talking trading up, then we're potentially talking about Debo again. And I know, Jay, you maybe.
I don't think so.
I know you're not ready, right? You don't
I think
want
this is his
of...
last year.
Yeah.
Like I've been saying, I think this is Debo's, as you guys talked about, the money. The money's going to press an issue. And the other part, too, a lot of people don't talk about this, and I always felt this. The moment the 49ers got CMC, they got Debo's replacement. The ground Debo, right? Like Debo and CMC are actually kind of, like they're very familiar in what they do. You know, they're parallel in what they do. And so Debo's not the guy that's going to take the top off the defense. Debo's not a route runner. You know, he's just a guy put the ball in his hands
and watch him work. He's a football player. Right.
That's what CMC is.
Yep.
And so I've always thought once they got CMC, the demise of Debo was coming soon anyway.
Yeah. One more point on Pearsall. He does, at least in college, he returned kicks.
Yeah.
With Ray McLeod gone.
They need that. Yeah.
Yeah. Whether they'll let him do that or not, I don't know. When we come back, Joel Embiid.
Ooh.
What is going on? Did he catch a break? Should he have been thrown out of that game last night? Next to the Drive Guys. Yes, the answer is yes, he should have. Sackdown. And what a Friday it is. We are already hearing from the number one Kyle Draper fan in the world, Lawrence Dubois.
My guy.
Yeah, Lawrence Dubois says, Drapes is right about 49er fans and Debo in the draft. Not only one of the greatest minds in basketball, Kyle Draper also knows football. And there's the number one.
Number one, baby.
Finger emoji.
Thank you, Lawrence.
That
I appreciate
is
it.
Is that Drake Burner?
I'm over here Drake on the side Burner, like yeah. this, like typing it on the side. I don't know, Lawrence. I don't think I do, but I appreciate you, man. Lawrence, my favorite fan out there,
yeah.
man. Yeah.
I forget what he had earlier in the week, but it was very
similar. It was the same guy, right?
Yeah. Just how exactly. great you are.
No, which,
you know, would dispute it?
He recognizes talent, bro. Yeah, you know what I mean? So wish some other people around here would do that. So
why in the world is basketball on now on a Friday?
Dude, it's ridiculous.
Is this game in France or something?
Right. We got Bucks Pacers, 5:30 Eastern start, 2:30 out here. And obviously, it's all for TV. I think ESPN has three games tonight. Mm-hmm. And so the way they scheduled it, they, you know. But I'm not minding this. I actually like this early start, Whitey. Mm-hmm. We get to sit here, watch this, the draft coming up in about an hour and 10 minutes. So plenty of content for us to watch.
So then I think the Mavs and Clippers are at 5?
Yeah, Mavs, Clippers, and then what's the last one?
I don't know, but the Pelicans and the
Timberwolves Suns tonight.
That's right.
Yeah, Timberwolves Suns tonight well.
And the Pelicans and the Thunder got to play again at some point.
They got to play, I mean, right, at some point, you know. And I'm watching the Pelicans, man, and I'm like, dang, we could have had a better showing than what they have against OKC right now. Watching the Lakers get run out of town. I'm like, we could have did that. Like. Mm-hmm. And everybody I talk to, when I'm out and about, people come up, they still can't believe it's over for the Sacramento Kings.
I know.
Still can't believe it.
Yeah. So the Kings were fighting to become the 7th or 8th seed. I believe our own Frankie Cardicelli today tweeted that the 7 and 8 seeds so far in the first round, they haven't won a game. I think they're 0-7 or something.
Yeah. In the Western Conference. Yeah. They're, I mean, you look at the Lakers, their prize is getting their butts kicked by the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Would we have wanted that if we were Sacramento? I would have still taken
sure.
that. I still would have taken that. Okay, all right.
You know,
right.
I know people throw that around.
Yeah.
Would you want to be in the playoffs? Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if you got your butts kicked. Yes.
Even if, you know, you get your butt kicked by the next coming of Magic and Bird in Jokic.
Don't get me started on Denver. I was driving here today thinking how much I just don't like Denver, man. I don't know what it
That's
is.
That's interesting.
I
really like watching them play, honestly.
Do you really?
Yes, yes. And I've always liked Michael Malone, and you said you're not the biggest fan, so.
No, I'm not. Just, you know. First of all, his hatred of Sacramento right now. You know, and I wasn't here back when he was here, so I get it.
I don't know that he hates Sacramento.
Not the city.
Yeah.
But he's not a big fan.
He's got a
of
he
the higher
a grudge.
Ups. Yeah, he holds a grudge. He holds a grudge. And the fact that when we were out there in Denver, he wanted to run up the score against us, that rubbed me the wrong way.
Gotcha. Does this rub you the wrong way?
Yeah.
What Joel Embiid did last night in Philadelphia's win over the Knicks, 125-114, the final, and Joel Embiid was called for a flagrant 1 that I know the Knicks thought should have been a flagrant 2. Or he reached up, he was on the floor, I think he flopped, reached up as Mitchell Robinson went up and grabbed him by the legs and looked like tried to pull him back down to the floor. The Knicks were furious.
That's tough, hard-nosed basketball, man. That's playoff basketball. You're looking at me. No, it was a dirty play. Yes. Do I believe they got it right with the flagrant 1? Yes. I don't think that's an ejectionable kind of play where you get thrown out. I mean, at the end of it, he just grabbed a leg, pulled a leg. You know, it's not – I've seen worse than that. Now, like, is that on the same severity as throwing a punch? Is that the same severity?
It could do as much damage.
We're overreacting. Come on.
No, when you have a player who's in the air and you grab him and pull him down – that's
how many
very
times have we
dangerous.
Seen that in the NBA? How many times?
I've never seen a player who's on the floor reach over him and pull a player
exactly.
down.
Exactly. So we don't know how dangerous it is, do we? Like, we've never seen
Mitchell
it before.
Robinson, I don't believe, returned in the second half. He's already been dealing with an ankle injury, so we don't know if that made it any worse. And I understand it's Embiid, and it, you know, I wasn't watching at the time. If I had been, I'd have been glad they left him in, because I get it. Oh, I want to watch. But still, and well, you know, Draymond Green, you know what he says, well, if that was me, and I think he's right, but I also think that would have been the right call in this case. On the other hand, all right, we play on, but that was a very, very dirty play. On top of the fact that it was a two or three times Joel Embiid kicked Knicks players in the groin yesterday.
I'm not going to – I'm the wrong guy to talk about dirty play with Joel Embiid, especially considering my guy went off for 50 points. That's what we need to be talking about. This is
that means it's okay?
No. Kevin McHale, Kurt Rambis back in the day. We applauded that.
I didn't. I certainly didn't. And I know you didn't.
Because we were Laker fans back then, right? We were Laker fans back then. But no, here's the thing. Was it dirty play? Yes. Was it enough to get ejected? I don't think so. I think, and I'm listening to SiriusXM NBA Radio, friend of show Rick Kamla was talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a flagrant 1.5. Mm. You know what I mean? It's not quite a 2, but it's a little more than a 1, you know? And so what can you say, man? I think flagrant, you know, if you're the Knicks, do something about it too. Like, I wouldn't be, you know, opposed if they had some retribution, you know, and be driving somebody take a – that's how it used to be back in the day, you know? We didn't look to the officials to make the calls or to bail guys out. And so I was impressed – with Embiid after that. 50 points, 13 of 19, must win for the Sixers. Should he have gotten kicked out? I don't think so. I'm okay with the flagrant one.
Are you a fan of Zach Zarba?
Not really.
Okay.
Now, I like Zach, but some of the calls and some of the missed calls, you know, there was a – go ahead. I'll let you
– oh, here's how he explained it. He said, in that situation, the crew gets together – we go review the foul. In this instance, the crew was unanimous, along with the replay center official in Secaucus, that this foul was unnecessary but did not rise to the level of a flagrant 2. The unnecessary contact rose to the level of a flagrant 1.
There you go.
But we were unanimous.
Unanimous.
That this did not rise to the level of excessive contact. Unnecessary and excessive. I think the officials did their job. Clearly, in a situation like that, part of their job is and should be, hey, we want to keep the players on the floor that fans want to see. I get that. They can't say that. But I do think that's a very dangerous play anytime somebody's in the air and you're messing with anything underneath them, let alone pulling them down.
I got to look at it.
He should have been thrown out, but I get it. And hopefully Mitchell Robinson's okay. And yeah, we'll see what the Knicks have.
I got to take a closer look at it. I'll be honest. I got to look at the replay and just see how devastating it was.
And I'll be honest, too. I probably should separate. You can't say, well, that call is bad because of the two other things he did. And in my mind, right, I am holding it against him that he was going after people's basketball racks yesterday.
Yeah.
That's where he was aiming.
He was a
two or three times.
He was like, Draymond Green,
you know,
on.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, when it happens once, like, oh, happens two or three times, you know that, all right, he's trying to send us a message.
Yeah. And I just looked at it. Flagrant 1 for sure. Like, I don't think, you know, it was a dirty play for sure. Yes. To kick a guy out over that, I'm okay with how they handled it yesterday.
It was pretty loud in there. There were a lot of Knicks fans in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr.
I was disappointed.
What do you got to say about that?
It doesn't matter. Knicks fans, here's the thing about Knicks fans. And, you know, I'm from Philly, went to school at Temple University. Knicks fans, one thing they'll always do, they'll tell you they're Knicks fans. They'll tell you they're from New York. They travel. It's a short hour and a half, 2-hour ride.
Bing
and
bong.
So I get that, you know. And I'm proud of the Sixers for winning that game the way they did. And you know, a partial New York crowd out there. And so, it's man, that series, when it first was announced, I'm like, it's going to get ugly. It's mm-hmm. going to get spicy. Because the two cities don't like each other. I'll keep it real. They don't like each other. You know, growing up in Philly, you know, we thought New York people were always felt like they were better than Philly, you know, and thought Philly was your younger sister or younger brother, excuse me. And so it's going to get more spicy, I think, as the series goes on.
I think they have T-shirts in Philly now, and they show Joel Embiid with Bell's palsy. Did you hear his Bell's palsy?
Yeah, I heard that
story.
That's
crossing the line. That's definitely.
Knicks fans got that?
Yeah, because they have a picture of him with, like,
with the face all hanging like, down.
Oh, wow. So it's on in that series. When we come back, how the newest Niner would have helped the 49ers in the last Super Bowl, the one they just lost, according to the great Matt Maiocco. Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.